kind of what we wanted to do here is twofold. Is one, to kind of give an update as to where we are with our kids ministry after having a season of nothing for a long time during COVID, being limited by building stuff, and now to point forward where we're wanting to grow and what we are wanting to do. So the first thing I want to do is kind of talk about our goals for our kids ministry. There's infinite numbers of what kids ministry could look like in the church right now. And in a lot of ways, it's both a challenge and a privilege for us to start from scratch because we don't have anything in place. We have to kind of work harder to get things in place to create a culture, but we also aren't working against any cultures that might subtly work against us, which means, remarkably, we're actually in the historic majority of the church. Kids ministry is a relatively new phenomenon, and turns out families have been discipling kids, raising disciples, and sending out missionaries from the family for millennia. And so we are excited to think about what it means to intentionally build that. And our kids ministry is really built on the goal of what our church is. And our church's goal is to see gospel change in all of life so that God might be magnified in the church or glorified in the church, and Christ might be magnified in the city. And so our kids ministry wants to help us in these efforts by supplementing three specific areas of ministry. And so what are we trying to bolster in our kids ministry? It's primarily three things. One, we want to contribute to a culture of evangelism. And actually a cool story, you guys can talk to Liz afterwards. Your parents got saved because you got invited to church through kids ministry. And so there's some ways that work of like kids get invited to come and participate and parents come. But there's also times where you might have a non-Christian coworker or friend, and they've got a three-year-old. Noisy three-year-olds are not a problem to us at our church because we're used to them, and we've got a couple of them. But to them, it might be awkward enough to be like, they're not going to be able to sit, they're not going to be able to pay attention, and just that hurdle of realizing their kid isn't going to be as well-behaved as potentially they should could mean they won't come to church. And so we can help with those things by alleviating burdens and providing reasonable childcare to say to the parent, your kid will be cared for, you can come, you could sit and listen and not be worried about the distractions that might come. And so we want to hopefully not only give the gospel to our kids in children's ministry, but also to create a platform for more evangelism throughout the city by calling people to church in a way that eliminates burdens. Secondly, we want to participate in a culture of discipleship. And we define discipleship at Sovereign Hope as helping each other follow Jesus in all of life through the gospel. And we can only really truly disciple believers. And so we want to share the gospel, we want to evangelize with our kids. But this also fits into a greater rubric of discipleship as well. And that is, if you have a kid or you've invited someone who has a kid and we have a class for them, they're able to not be focusing on what they're eating or them coloring on the floor, but really tune in to the sermon, to participate in the worship service without distraction, and to hopefully maybe get a little bit more than they would if their mind was constantly divided by an infant who's pulling on their hair or a kid that's throwing rocks at their siblings. And it allows us to grow in care for one another, and actually creates discipleship in the sanctuary by eliminating those hurdles, but also creates a sphere of discipleship in our church. And that's one thing that we're really excited to see this room grow. Those who are in here wanting to learn about kids ministry, we're really passionate that this should just be a natural one another spot of our church. That whether you have kids or not, if you're part of this church, you realize that you're part of these kids. And we want to help them see the glories of the gospel, understand what gospel-shaped relationships care about, and know that in the same way God loves them, their brothers and sisters in Christ, their members of this church, want to love them just like that. And so I made a joke last Sunday, but it really is, if you don't have kids, come and experiment on mine. Learn how you might disciple your own kids by sharing the gospel and discipling other person's kids. And that's just a really cool place of serving, of giving back, and of increasing the family dynamic we have at our church. We'll talk more about what that might look like. Liz will talk later about the kind of culture we want to create in our kids' ministry. And then lastly, we want it to create not only a culture of discipleship, a culture of evangelism, but a culture of conversion. We love the church. We love the preaching of God's word. We believe there's no greater influence on kids than having their mom and dad know and love the gospel. But we also realize that biology and development matters, and that for a two-year-old to sit in here, they could hear a lot of really good things, but if we have the means and ability to do so, it also means something really profound to sit and speak to them at their level in their way of understanding. We want to tell kids of the great glories of God who loves them without the large words I sometimes unknowingly use. I heard that someone keeps a list of large words I use, and they make it like a guessing game throughout the week. Was that you, Lena? No, it seems like something you would do. But I promise I'm not smart enough to actually know when I'm using those words, so it's all a facade. But to teach them in kind, facade, is that a word? Yeah, okay. That's only like six letters, so. We want kids to hear from our mouths, right in front of them, that God is big. And that would be the only thing they take away. We want those truths to grow with them over time. And so being able to, we can't convert anyone. You guys all know that. But we can certainly, I love C.S. Lewis's line with what he tried to do with Narnia. He called it baptizing a child's imagination. And that is when a child got older, they'd be introduced to God in conversion. They say, like, God was like Aslan. And so we want our kids' ministry to baptize a child's imagination so that when they get saved, Lord willing, by responding to the gospel, they're like, God is big, God is strong. These are the things that these people were instilling in me from a young age. From the youngest class to our oldest, we want to give them a picture of God that grows in clarity and obedience as they grow in clarity and obedience. Those are our three goals: evangelism, discipleship, and conversion. And I just want to touch really briefly on the scope of our kids' ministry, because what we're building right now with classrooms over here, we're actually only designing for the time being to go through kindergarten. As God works in our body, we might extend that a little bit. We might reel that in a little bit. We're kind of working with a fixed space. But that's our working goal right now, is to have classes through kindergarten when these are done. And that's a little less if you've been around our church for a number of years. We used to have all the way, sometimes in the summer, up through age 11. And so that's a difference for some of you. And I want to just give a couple reasons why we're limiting it to kindergarten right now. One is, we really do believe that the best form of discipleship is the corporate church gathering. That this is really where God trains and has promised to work in a special way. And so when a seven-year-old is in church, it's really important and really cool for them to also have age-specific truths, but to actually see their dad singing worship songs, to see the person who comes to their community group being baptized, to see their mom taking communion, that God has given us these special means of grace because he actually says they work. That this is the beauty of it. And our tension is always be like, well, we could think of something better. We could find something more engaging. But God, when he breathed out the principles he gave the church to practice, wasn't like, oh, dang, that only works for 13 and up. We have to think of something new. He knew that this did have natural difficulties, but actually the gospel, we have natural difficulties. We don't understand the gospel in full. We run into things that we wrestle with, that we experience, that God grows us by grace. And this idea of really seeing this room, this gathered body, as God's primary means of discipleship is what has served the church for millennia. And so that's part of it, is realizing the theology of the gathered body, hearing the word proclaimed, seeing the Lord's Supper, seeing baptism, hearing confession. Those things really matter. But secondly, and kind of circumstantially, in our day and age, by the time a child is in first grade, they're in school for 8 hours a day. They're able to sit through a two-hour Netflix movie. And so we really feel, developmentally, taking our bodies into consideration, that it's reasonable for them to be able to come and be in this room for an hour and a half, where at times they'll be standing and singing, and at other times they'll be sitting and listening, and then standing and singing again, and engaging in calls and responses. And we know there's going to be distraction. We know there's going to be learning curves. We know there's going to be loud things and knocked over water bottles that my kids have a knack for doing. And as a church, we're just saying we want that. We'd rather have those hurdles in order to create a church that prioritizes the gathering and the grace that God gives us, and realize that we are a family. And that when we go to our community groups, and when you do discipleship, and when you're trying to follow Jesus, there's no sterile ecosystem for that. Following Jesus is good in the messiness of our life. And we want our kids' ministry to walk that dynamic as well. We do intend, we realize there are more kids in our church than just zero through kindergarten. And we do realize that there's a point and a purpose for age-specific teaching with them. And we want to build those things into, they'll probably happen more of like a Sunday morning thing, like maybe something that starts at 9. I'm actually putting together initial notes for a class for kind of like 6 to 8-year-olds on who God is, what is God's word, and how do we interact with that. And those are things where we do want to give them age-specific teaching, but we actually want to support and encourage them in here instead of just taking them out of here. The diet our kids need is so much more than Sunday morning, and that's why we want to try and supplement that in a various different ways, including community groups. We want your kids to not just be shoved in a corner at community groups, but actually be cared for. We want you, when you're at community group, to be able to have a conversation with someone else's kids and ask them about what they're learning and care about them in their life. So we want a holistic approach to our kids' ministry, which means when we're limiting it to 0 through kindergarten, we're not saying that's all we care about. We're saying we're going to try harder in different places to actually care for the broader group. So those are our goals, and that's kind of the scope. Does anyone, before I give it, is it Liz that's next? Before I hand it over to Liz, does anyone have any questions on that right now? Ladies, did I miss anything that I was supposed to talk about? Yes. Yeah, so the question was, do we have a plan for those classes for kids? Not right now. I'm putting together one. It's actually just a 3-week thing. But those are the kind of supplements we want to provide for that age demographic instead of just saying, oh, now we have a weekly during church class for 6 to 8-year-olds to say. We have a class for 6 to 8-year-olds, kind of like a women's Bible study. It's going to meet for X amount of weeks before the service. That's kind of how we're going to use that tool. Does that make sense? This hypothetical one, yes, I would be. Yeah. But it's a place where we could get more people involved in doing that as well, which we'd like to do. So residents, other elders, things like that. With that said, I will leave it to Liz to say all the things that I shouldn't have said. Say all the things I shouldn't have said. That means you're going to say bad things? I don't know. Ignore me. Oh, also, before we get here, I do want to introduce kind of our, so when Missy left, who is kind of full-time at the church, splitting between women's ministry and kids' ministry, we have replaced half of a Missy with 3 full women. And so we've got Liz, we've got Shayla, we've got Audrey. All their contact info is on the handout you could have gotten. And they've kind of stepped up in a volunteer capacity to be this triumvirate of thought leading things. And so Shayla is the one who's kind of behind the scenes, Wizard of Oz, doing a lot of the detail work. Audrey and Liz are, you see them more at check-in stuff, doing leader trainings. Liz is working specifically with some curriculum development stuff. And so we're really appreciative of this. I think it's not only a healthy thing for our church to use the gifts that God has given the body of Christ, but it's actually, it'll be, and you guys will see this when we get to budget stuff, these women stepping up have saved us just off the top of our initial budget, I think $25,000 this past year of money that could be put elsewhere in the church for ministry. And so we're just super grateful. We're encouraged by this, and we are really optimistic to go into a more church-driven approach to caring for our kids. So with that, here's Liz.
Okay. So we're really excited. For those of you who are here just to hear about the kids' ministry, but not necessarily for volunteering, still keep your ears open. But we're really excited to have you all joining us to serve the families here, because we think that's really important by serving in kids' ministry. And we want you guys to be excited too. So we realize that not everyone comes with a nature or by trade to be a teacher or to work with kids, and that can be some cause for anxiety. So we don't want that. So I'm here to assure you that whether you are by nature or by trade a teacher, it doesn't matter. You can still work with kids, and we can help you with that. We are willing to train. We will have a volunteer training when we're getting ready to get set up. We can help walk you through whatever you might be nervous about. We're here to encourage you and just walk alongside of you as you step into some of these ministry roles. So let me go over the roles. You have them on your sheet that you were handed. Does anyone not have a sheet? Okay. Shayla? Nope. Oh, there she is. Okay. Shayla will bring it to you. Thank you. Okay, so the first one on your sheet is the lead teacher. So the lead teacher is in charge of basically, like it says there, facilitating the curriculum and overseeing the classroom. That means you prep a little bit, not much, beforehand, before the Sunday that you're going to teach the kids. So you're telling the Bible story, you're kind of facilitating the time that's happening in class, making sure things are going on the schedule, which we will also give you, and making sure that things are just running smoothly as far as activities are going in your class. Again, these lesson plans are going to be all laid out for you. You just basically will need to decide how you're going to tell the story. And in one of the curriculums, you could just read verbatim, like read the story and show the props if you're super nervous about that. Or you could just, you know, do it how you want to do it. But the crafts will be all prepped and ready to go for you. And the lesson is all prepped. You just take it home and take a read over it. So it's really, it's not like being a teacher in a classroom where you have to really prep for hours and hours and hours. Just pray over it. That's all we ask. And then tell the story to the kids and facilitate the rest of what's going on in the classroom that morning. And if you want to take a look at the curriculum, I have curriculum for the 4 through K class, as well as the 2 to 3-year-old class. I have them here. I'll leave them up here. You guys could take a look. Okay, the second person is the assistant. So just like the name implies, they are helping the teacher with classroom management. If the teacher is teaching the story and the kids are, you know, talking or playing on the ground, they're the ones that are encouraging the kids to, shh, let's listen to the story, you know. And you're helping whatever way that you can with the lead teacher so that she can continue to do her role. And the lead teacher and assistant might be doing diaper changes. So if you're not okay with diaper changes, maybe let us know. but hopefully you are, because that's a way to minister to kids.
I'm not okay with diaper changes.
Oh, okay. We're going to let that happen at home. The next person is the apprentice. So this is like an assistant, but they're like the junior assistant, basically. This is for 11 to 17-year-olds who want to help. Now, why didn't we just call it a junior assistant? So we talked and have this vision that we really don't want just another pair of hands, so we're just going to throw a teenager in there because, you know, they want a break from being in service or whatever. What we really want to do with our teenagers is we want to apprentice them, basically. We want to train them so that they know what ministry looks like when they're ready to fly the coop and ready to go and be on their own. So they've been ministered to while also ministering. So that's our vision for that and why we've called them an apprentice. And then the last role that we have is in registration. And this person works with the parents mostly, helps kids sometimes like go to the bathroom and stuff through the service. But this person is really there to encourage the parents, to answer questions that the parents have, and to just be a general like help at the registration desk, this extra person. When we do training, we will go over more of that. So that's not like a, okay, I guess I'm a lead teacher and whatever Liz said I'm going to do. We will have training later for all of these things that will go more in depth. So, but we just wanted to give you that so that you didn't feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to be this lead teacher that plans for hours and hours and hours, and then I'm going to walk into a classroom and have to like, you know, it's nothing crazy, and we can totally help train you through all of that. So Tyler was talking earlier about the kind of culture that we wanted to create in children's ministry, and we've talked a lot about this. So there's three different things that we've talked specifically that we want to focus on. And the first one is caring for your own spiritual health. So, you know, when you get on the airplane and they're like, okay, here's all of the, if we crash and or whatever, if cabin pressure drops, your masks will drop down and you put yours on first, right? That's because if you can't breathe, you can't help the people around you. So the first thing that we really want to say is that we know that when you come to serve on a Sunday morning, you miss out on what's happening in here. So we really want to encourage you to make sure at some point during the week that you go home and listen to the sermon, because we think that taking care of yourself and your spiritual health that's getting into God's word. And a big part of that is being here on Sunday mornings and listening to the word preached with fellow believers. And so when you miss out on that because you're serving, we want to make sure that you still get that during the week. So we're asking that if you want to volunteer, that you commit to doing that for your own spiritual health and for the spiritual health of the kids, because once you fill up, then you can fill them up. The second thing is caring for the kids. So we want to make sure that kids ministry is more than just babysitting during the time that the parents are in here. And so we want, and we even want more than just we're telling them a Bible story, because that kind of adds the Christian part of it into the babysitting, right? No, we want more than that, though. We want these kids to be discipled and told that they're loved by God, by other people that are not their parents. I desire that for my kids, and I'm guessing that others desire that for theirs, that there's somebody else that's speaking into their life outside of their parents, another adult that loves the Lord. And so what we're asking you to consider, this is not hard and fast, we haven't decided on this, but we would like your input. We would love to see volunteers volunteer for a three-week stint at a time. So 3 weeks in a row, be in teaching with the same kids in the same grade, so that they can see your face, you can see theirs, you can speak into their life in a way that they're seeing you more often, and they get to know who you are. And we know that that is a really big ask. So if you're not able to, or you feel like that's too much, then just let us know. I didn't bring a card up here. There, those cards that I gave you, we're calling it an exit survey. It says on there if you would be willing to serve for 3 weeks in a row. And if you're not, just check that you're willing to serve, you know, once a month or whatever. The nice thing about serving 3 weeks in a row is that you're only going to serve a couple times a year. So there's that aspect too. But if you can only serve once a month or once every 6 weeks or whatever it is that you can serve, we still want you, because we think that serving the body of Christ is really important. And so we want you to be a part of that. If you're able to serve 3 weeks in a row, we think that that would really, you know, help us towards wanting to disciple our kids. So let us know on that exit survey. And then there's this basket up here. You guys can throw that. You can throw that in there. Okay, and then the third thing is we want to create a culture of care by caring for you, for us to care for you. So I'm actually going to pass it off to Audrey for that.
Gee, you're welcome to, but I could do that if you would like me to. I was going to. Yeah, no, go for it. Okay. I'm just standing here aimlessly, so.
Sounds good. All right, so caring for you guys. We are so grateful for all of you. I just wanted to really quickly mention 1 Corinthians 12. It talks about the body of Christ and how it's like our bodies that have many members, and just talks about members caring for one another. And specifically in verse 24, it's God who's composed the body, and he's made it so that the members care for one another. If one suffers, we all suffer. And so all of you are very important to the work of the Lord, and we are here to help you serve you as you serve the rest of the body and in caring for the little ones. Communication is extremely important, and so we will do our best to be observant and proactive in caring for you, but if there's something that we're missing, please don't hesitate to talk to us about it and let us know. And the other thing I wanted to just say is none of us can do any of this without the help of the Lord, and so know that we are praying for you. And specifically, we set aside some time before class starts to pray with one another. So we'll be doing that every Sunday, and just for that time that we spend with the kids. And we just want to be creating that culture of care amongst ourselves, which we already see a lot of you just stepping in when there's gaps that need to be filled, and we're like subbing for someone who gets sick at the last minute, and we already see that happening. So we're very encouraged about that. And again, truly grateful for all of you, those who've been helping with the kids for years now, and then people that have just now jumped on board, and even some of you who might be sitting here that are just considering it. We're very, very grateful for you. But ultimately, we give thanks to God, who continues to build his body, and it's a body that cares for one another well and just shows the world around us what real love is. And another verse that had popped into my mind was, you know, when you have a lot on your load or you feel like you're giving of yourself a lot, you can tend to be anxious. And there's the verse that says, cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. So as God cares for us, let's care for one another, and we will do our best in doing that. So that's all I wanted to say, and I'll go ahead and pray for us, and we'll be done. Father in heaven, I just thank you so much for your church. Thank you that the church is yours. You are the one who is building it. We thank you so much for the children that you have blessed us with and the blessings that they are. Lord, thank you for what you are doing in their hearts and for the privilege that we have to speak into their lives, to teach them who you are and to show them your love, Lord, as we love one another and as we love them. Father, we know that unless you build the house, we labor in vain. And so we come before you humbly, and we commit this ministry into your care, into your hands, and just pray that we would continually go back to knowing that you are the one that is building and growing and doing the work by your Spirit. And I pray that you would help each one of us not to attempt to do this on our own strength, but to rely on your word and your Spirit, to fill our hearts with the love and the grace that we need to serve the kids and to be gracious with one another, and to be a good example of the gospel. Lord, fill our hearts with the gospel. And we just thank you so much again for all that you have done for us, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys for joining us. If you have any questions, feel free to talk to Shayla or Audrey or Liz, or talk to me, and I'll tell you to talk to Shayla, Audrey, or Liz. So thank you guys for being with us this Sunday.